The Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio, where you listen with your ears and not your mouth.
Good evening and welcome to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio. I'm Aisha, and this evening I've got Vicky Weston in the studio with me. We are going to be playing you some theatre. Lots of theatres coming up on the show today. We're also going to be announcing the winner of our Alice in Wonderland competition, which is very good. And the one voice that you're not going to hear today is Matt Boothman, because he's away. He is not in the studio. I think he's visiting family. Visiting family up north?
Let's go with that. Sounds like a thing he would be doing.
Yeah, he likes that. He likes that kind of stuff. So Matt's not going to be giving us a film review this week, but Vicky went and saw a film.
I went to see John Wick yesterday.
Yeah, you did. You're going to review it for us?
I sure am.
I'm not going to play the spot. I'm not going to play the Matt Boothman movie review spot, because that would just be weird and confusing.
Or even if we just say my name over the top.
I was thinking about doing that, but I don't think that I'm like proficient enough at panelling yet.
No, let's not worry about it. I'll probably just ruin it.
Yeah. So let's just go straight in.
Okay.
Go straight in.
All right then. Okay, let me just get my notes out here.
So John Wick is the new Keanu Reeves film, I believe. I know nothing about this. I've come in really, really underprepared, just so that you can review.
That's fine. I can tell you all the things. So first of all, this is the first Keanu Reeves film in a little while.
Yeah.
He seems to really sort of pick and choose what suits him, and this film is no different to a lot of other Keanu Reeves films you'll have seen, in the sense that it's heavily reliant on the martial arts genre.
Uh-huh.
That is no bad thing, because, and this is I think a really interesting fact about this film, Keanu Reeves did 90% of his own stunts.
Oh my goodness, 90?
Which, for a man of his age, he's no spring chicken.
How old is he?
He's like in his late 40s.
Oh, that's not that old. It's
quite impressive, given the amount of like physical action that occurs in the film.
Okay.
That's all, and it's because he's really passionate about martial arts, and I feel like that comes across in the film. The director was his stunt double in The Matrix, so The director of the film was also somebody really passionate about martial arts. So the two of them together have created a film that really does convey that. So If you're not really into martial arts, then maybe it's not the film for you. There is a bit of kind of good character development, but it is very focused on the kind of the art of fighting, which is, I think, no bad thing. It was a well shot film. So quick bit of synopsis for those of you who maybe are thinking of going to see it, or who have no desire to go and see it whatsoever. John Wick is an ex hitman, for having worked plentifully for the Russian mob back in the day, and he retires because of a woman.
Of course he does.
I mean, that's the main reason anyone retires from being a hitman. But we'll not go into that right now. And his wife has a terminal illness, and she dies right at the beginning of the film. So she does not get Bridget Moynihan, who plays her beautifully for the 8 seconds of screen time that she has, dies right at the beginning of the film. And what happens is, obviously, he's grieving, and she sends him a gift sort of from beyond the grave of a puppy.
Aww.
So I see I've captured your interest now.
Oh,
because you love dogs.
Puppies.
And it is an incredibly cute dog. Like, it is an incredibly cute dog. And that's quite important, because what happens next is that he comes a cropper of some Russian youngsters, the main one being played absolutely brilliantly by Alfie Allen of Game of Thrones fame.
Fantastic, I like him.
He is brilliant, and he plays these kind of slightly witless sadists really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And this film is no different. And he does it really, really well. And he's a young Russian mobster, and he decides he wants John Wick's car, which is a 1969 Mustang. And then goes to rob the car, and in the process of robbing the car, he kills the dog.
Oh no!
That's not a big spoiler. This is all like the first 5 minutes of the film.
Oh my god!
And that's actually in the, like, if you look it up online, it will say like John Wick goes. So it's a revenge movie about his dog.
and it is
kind of funny, but actually, when you're watching it, you really get it.
Yeah.
Like, you've already been made to fall in love with the dog and what that represents, which is, of course, his ability to grieve unalone, as he calls it in the film.
Mm-hmm.
That was an opportunity his wife gave him to grieve but to grieve with companionship. And he's already bonded with this dog. And he...
Someone kills it.
And Alfie Allen has the dog kill. Obviously not actually Alfie Allen, the character Alfie Allen is playing. And it is actually quite an emotional moment in the film. And obviously as a result of this, John Wick decides to get revenge. So the whole film is a revenge movie done in the kind of Hong Kong martial arts style, based on the fact that he's trying to get even with the Russian mob for killing his dog.
Okay. Seems pretty like run-of-the-mill revenge film.
And in a lot of ways, it is.
Is it breaking any new kind of ground whatsoever?
Some of the way, and this is incredibly technical and something that I don't necessarily understand quite so much, but I was reliably informed that the way that they've shot a lot of the fight scenes is different to what we've come to expect in action films, which is to do loads of really fast camera movement that makes you feel like you're in the fight. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more kind of like wide shots where you can watch the fight taking place like it's a choreographed dance almost.
Right.
And the other thing that they do is... and this is just something I read subsequently because I am in no way a martial arts expert. I know basically nothing.
That surprises me.
I know nothing. But what they did do was really stick to particular styles of martial arts for particular people. So because Keanu Reeves is himself, I believe, a judo expert. I may be wrong about this, everybody, but that's what I read. That's the style of martial arts that he does continuously. He doesn't just mix up different... like things that work for the fight scene. Mm-hmm. He sticks within that particular martial art, and as do other, because obviously there are quite a lot of different hitmen involved in the film, and they have their own style of fighting that's specific to them, which is quite interesting. And the other thing is that it's important to note actually that he actually worked for the Russian mobster who's the father of Alfie Allen's character. Alfie Allen's character, Yosef, the young Russian mobster, has no concept of what he's actually done. He thinks he's just stolen some guy's car and killed his dog. Uh-huh. And when his father finds out that he's stolen John Wick's car and killed John Wick's dog, he punches his son in the stomach and explains to him what kind of thing how serious a thing he's done by describing a time when he saw John Wick kill three men only with a pencil.
Do you get to see that scene?
No, you don't. I was kind of hoping for a flashback, and maybe it's in some kind of director's cut, but it was... all those little bits were actually incredibly funny. There was a lot of really good comic timing from the actor that was playing Vigo, the head of the Russian mob, some brilliant silence from Keanu Reeves. He does a lot without talking.
Yeah. I think you and I were talking about this and talking about actors that have a specific kind of acting.
Yes.
And I think I think Tobey Maguire was one of them.
Yep.
A lot of eye acting going
on. Yeah, Nicolas Cage has a very specific style of acting.
I feel like Keanu's is just, I'm just going to be deadpan and stare.
We were having this conversation yesterday, having seen the film, and I was saying that I think that Keanu Reeves isn't really a good actor, but he has got incredible presence.
Yeah.
And his presence is what carries
sort
him through most...
Sort of radiates out
Yeah,
of
that's
him.
It. It's rare to see him really actually acting in a film.
Yeah.
Mostly he's existing, and just by existing, he's actually doing something pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And it just seems to work for him. And it really does in this film. In this film, it really, really works for him.
Just a lot of Keanu being quiet.
There's this brilliant bit that illustrates that perfectly, where the Russian mobster calls him up to try and make peace with him right at the beginning when he finds out what his son's done. And on the phone, John Wick picks up the phone and he doesn't say anything for the duration of the Russian mobster speaking to him. He makes no response whatsoever and then just puts the phone down, having not said a single word. And the Russian mobster's kind of number two guy says, "Oh, what did he say?" And the Russian mobster just says, "Enough." And it is just brilliant, because you're just like, that's exactly the kind of guy this is. Somebody who doesn't need to say anything to convey how truly dangerous he really is.
Uh-huh.
And of course then, as the film develops, he goes on a kind of mega killing spree. I think he makes 77 kills in the film, and there are 119 in total. So that tells you the quantity of killing he's personally...
Keanu wins.
he does win. Just a couple of other things to call out that I thought were really brilliant about the film. The soundtrack is incredible. Heavy use of Marilyn Manson, really harking back to The Matrix, which really well placed and worked really, really well. Mm. But in general, the soundtrack just added so many dimensions to the film that was really, really positive, particularly a scene that happens. It's the kind of apex of the film in terms of fight scenes, is a fight scene in a club. And the way the hits and the shots come is exactly in time with the beat of the music. And it is just, it's very seamless.
I appreciate that in a film.
And you're watching it going, this is brilliant.
I appreciate some nice editing.
Yeah, really, really, really smart. And Ian McShane is in it. He's famous for being 80s heartthrob Lovejoy, but also in HBO's Deadwood. And he is incredible in this film. And he's on screen for all of about 3 minutes, but it's really worth it just for that cameo. And the other thing was just to say how fantastic Alfie Allen was. Like, I can't emphasize enough how good he is at those kinds of roles. And
yeah,
it was,
I do rate him highly.
He was very, very good.
I'd like to meet him. I think he'd be a lovely guy as well.
Yeah, I think he probably is, but he just plays these people who you love to hate a little bit. And you are just kind of waiting for him to get his just desserts for killing this dog. You really are. But you totally believe it. He has this kind of brilliant, psychotic kind of behind the eyes craziness that you can really buy into. So,
well, I probably won't see the film, but I do hope that he gets what's coming to him, because no one likes a dog killer. Thanks for that, Vix.
No problem.
Matt will be back next week with a movie review. And are you seeing anything? Got anything else up on the cards?
I'm not quite sure, actually. There are a few things that I saw trailers for that are very exciting. I think I'm going to try and see the new Avengers film next weekend.
Yes.
I'm kind of hoping that on Sunday there might be more than one of us that's seen it, and maybe we can have a conversation about it, because I think it looks pretty exciting.
Let's aim for Avengers next week, because I'd really like to see
that.
That
would be ideal, I think. That's what we'll go for.
Fantastic. Well, coming up on the show, we have a theatre piece written and performed by Hannah Puddlefoot. It's called Slow Down. And Hannah sent this in to us. She had recorded it herself and written it herself, obviously. And she sent it through, and we're playing it on the radio for you now. So if you have anything in terms of any writing or a play that you might have recorded that you'd like to hear on our show, then you can send it to us and we'll play it. And we're at Blackshaw Update on Twitter. Or you can just email me. I'm Aisha@blackshawonline.com. And I'll find it and see it and listen to it, and then I'll play it like this. So this is Slow Down by Hannah Puddlefoot.
If I was young, if I could still skip, if I could sing in tune, if I were 23 again, if I were me again, if I could be again like I was before, then perhaps I wouldn't see them staring anymore. There was a time, not so very long ago, when a pint of milk was 17 pence. You got cream in the neck when you knocked the top off, and someone collected the bottles from your doorstep on a weekday. Now there are 11 different kinds of milk in my local supermarket. I counted. Full fat, semi-skimmed, skimmed, 1% rice milk, cow's milk, bean milk and dairy milk. All of them in one place with different prices and different colours and all this noise and people pushing. I mean, who in their right mind would put all the milk in metal trays on the floor so you can't reach to the back without bending in half and make some so heavy you can barely lift them, let alone put one in a basket? And before you say it, I don't need a trolley. I don't have enough items to purchase to warrant a trolley, and if I did get a trolley, I'd have to remember the pound coin to collect one. Because nowadays they're all chained to railings like protesters outside an animal testing facility due to the fact that they get stolen by teenagers who need to carry televisions home from looting. I just can't be doing with it. And once you've chosen from the 11 kinds of milk and managed to get it in your basket without dislocating anything, and you've made another choice over the 46 different brands, sizes and prices of bread, some of which aren't even real bread because they're made of sawdust to accommodate the gluten-free, nut-allergy, lactose-intolerant, bi-monthly asthmatic, semi-contagious human beings who collect disabilities like a cheap remedy for actually having to deal with life, you then have to tackle the checkouts. with simpering, dim-witted 13-year-olds glaring at you as you find the exact change whilst you try not to glance repeatedly at their deep-set, sunken eyes, seeing the question forming in the backs of their brains, just as it's forming in the minds of the 1, 2, 3,000 people arranging themselves in an irritably ordered queue behind you, staring and thinking the immortal and obvious question, why, for the love of God, doesn't she have a contactless credit card? And I suppose that's the world we live in. My mother used to say that to me when I was a child. Just accept the world for what it is and remember that no matter what happens, it'll keep on spinning just the same tomorrow. Actually, it's not the milk or the bread or the queues. It's other people having to wait for me. That's the problem. I would be all right if they were patient and they were able to give me a few minutes to gather myself, get my thoughts together, remember where I am, what I'm doing, what I've bought, how much it was, where I'm going, whether I bought the car, whether the bags will keep everything in or whether I need another one, whether I had my scarf when I left the house, how I pay, how much it was, where I'm going, what I'm doing. Where am I? If I was 23 and it took me a while to get my purse open, and it took me a while to work out how much I owe, because I've never ever been good at maths. If I was 23 and I could laugh it off, make a joke, roll my eyes irritably at myself and the queue behind me, would laugh along, and I'd skip out of the supermarket with my bags, and I'd carry on with my life because I'd remember what my life was. If I'd broken my leg and I was in front of someone at the zebra crossing, they would see the crutches and they would walk a little slower, give me a wide berth. They wouldn't expect me to run across the road screaming, "I'm all right again! Look at how fast I can go!" They'd wait, because my leg would quite clearly be broken. But somehow when you're old, which is going to happen to everyone, if you're lucky, there isn't an inherent patience in strangers. Some of us, certainly not all of us, but some have real problems with the everyday. There's no crutches. There's no badge reading tired brain on board. People just look at you and struggle and roll their eyes and suddenly you're to blame. You're to blame for growing old and slowing down the pace of the world.
That was Slow Down by Hannah Pudfoot, and she wrote and performed that herself and sent that into us. Now we are going to swiftly move into Arts Thing of the Week, which is our regular segment where we talk about all things art in general, and Vicky tells us some fun things. I went and saw a play this week, which I generally do, probably I see theatre once a week, but I went and saw my housemate's new production, which is called Stasis. My housemate works for Encompass Theatre, and Stasis is on at the White Bear. Hot tip, I hate space. Everyone knows that.
Is this true?
Matt Boothman made me go and see Jupiter Ascending. We all know how that was terrible. I just generally don't like things about space. I get a lot of, you know, flack. I got a lot of flack yesterday just for not having ever seen a Star Wars. I'm like, I don't want to see a Star Wars. It's not interesting to me. Anyway, Stasis is set in space, and I really enjoyed it. It's a really fantastic production. So that's one thing that it did really well, is make me like space. One of our, actually Cridwen, who, if you have been listening to our show, was one of the characters in our Audience with the Ghostfinder radio play. And she's in it and she plays a few characters. I'm not going to give too much away. It's fantastic. It's on for the rest of the week. They're doing a matinee today. And
yeah,
then it's running up until next Sunday is the last final show. And it's at the White Bear in Kennington. So go and see it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna check it out on Saturday night. Yeah, tickets are still available, but I believe selling quite quickly.
Yes, they're doing fantastically. They sold out last night. And yeah, go and get tickets. Go online. Encompass. Just Google Encompass. They're on Facebook. We're friends with them.
Yeah, you'll find it easily if you check out Encompass Stasis. We'll do a tweet about it as well. So if you follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to see that.
Yes. So, Vix, what are you talking to us about on Arts Thing of the Week?
So I thought, why break the mould of today's show and talk about anything but theatre? you know.
Well, we're a theatre show, so...
So yeah, that's, this fine. Seems fair enough. So this week's Arts Thing of the Week is about theatre. It's about... I try and focus our theatre things on things that are free or affordable or local to Wandsworth. But this time, it's just something that came... I came across this week, and I just thought this is too brilliant not to talk about, because tickets have just gone on sale, and it's a really, really great opportunity. And it is that Kenneth Branagh of Hamlet fame, me and Aisha were talking about earlier, is a famous role that he's played, but he's been in a lot of stuff. Mm. He's directed a lot of stuff. You might have recently seen the Thor movie, which he directed.
Did he direct that? I didn't
for real,
know that.
For real, totally a thing that happened.
Wow.
Yeah, it's why there's so much Hamlet in it.
Oh, yeah.
There isn't. That's the thing
I
made
up. That was a joke.
Yeah, that was a joke. Okay. he also directed Cinderella, the live-action movie that's just been released, starring Richard Madden and Lily James, who I'm going to mention in a minute because they're in one of his shows. so what he's done is something that's a little bit unusual, but is something that they used to do in kind of theatre of old, which was... For a relatively famous actor or director like Kenneth Branagh to set up their own theatre company and name it after themselves is pretty normal. So it's called the Kenneth Branagh Theatre Company, so that there's no confusion about who they are and what they do.
Yeah.
And then they do a residency at a London theatre. So he's going to be at the Garrick Theatre, which is actually, it's a really lovely West End theatre. You might think they're all the same, and to a great extent, that is true. But the Garrick is slightly smaller and has a little bit of like a playhouse feel, so it feels like a local theatre, even though it's in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really great theatre, and their season is called Plays at the Garrick. So that's what they're doing. He's doing a series of plays starting this year, but running pretty much all the way through 2016. The first being a production of classic Shakespeare, Winter's Tale, which is going to be starring him and Judi Dench.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a massive double hitter.
That's cool.
If you're a Judi fan, then I would strongly recommend getting tickets to see this show because it will be incredible. And that's going to be performed in rep, which means you'll see the same actors in both shows with Terence Rattigan's... I don't think this gets performed very much. A play called Harlequinade, which is... Ironically, and perhaps this is why he picked it, it's about a theatre group putting on A Winter's Tale and Romeo and Juliet.
Whoa.
So it's like so many layers of meta occurring
there.
Wow. So if you can afford to see both, obviously that would be, it's great to see stuff in rep because you see, you're seeing the same actors do different stuff and it shows how versatile they are, and it's a real treat. So that's the first part of the season. Then the second part is Kenneth Branagh is going to be doing a production of The Painkiller, which he'll be starring in again alongside Rob Brydon,
mm-hmm.
who I've not seen on the stage before, and mm-hmm. I would be very much up for seeing that because I have a feeling it will be amazing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Sir Ken is a discerning director and judger of talent, so I think if he's put Rob Brydon in a play, it'll be brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that he'll be in his natural Welsh accent, but who knows what will happen. Maybe he'll do his Michael Caine impression, I don't know. So
what are the pricings looking like? Because I love this segment because you tell me stuff that I should go and probably do culture wise you're kind of like the culture fairy.
Here I am being the culture fairy, so I'm just having a quick
helping
look.
Me with my
I'm literally online right now having a look at what the
I hope it's not too expensive, because...
The thing is, it's not going to be cheap, but there are some things that are expensive and in the West End, and I'm not going to go into that now, but there are some things that are expensive in the West End and it's just not worth the money.
Mm.
But something like this,
probably it's worth the money, once in a lifetime kind of deal.
And you may find that there are cheap seats on the night if you're just chancing it and going along to the theatre, and if they've had some returns, or if they, I mean, it happens, you can get cheap seats, but obviously it's all a bit of a risk. Other things worth noting, or the rest of the run, in fact, before I go into kind of what it might cost you, there's then after The Painkiller, which is happening from March 2016, we've then got Richard Madden he's Robb Stark from Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
And Lily James, who is Lady Rose from Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey fans out there.
Ellie's listening. Yeah. Ellie's like, ooh,
Ellie's
Downton
like,
Abbey.
Yeah, I love her. and I believe they were both co-starring in Cinderella. I haven't seen it, but that's the information I've had. And they will be performing Romeo and Juliet from May through August. And I think that will be really fantastic.
That'll be lovely.
I read an interview with Sir Ken about this season, and he said that he had discovered whilst working with them on Cinderella that they were both incredibly passionate about and excited about Shakespeare, and he's kind of hoping this is going to bring a sort of younger generation of theatregoers in to see Shakespeare, which is going to be really brilliant. Romeo and Juliet feels a bit done sometimes, but I think it'll be pretty fresh, given that they're two quite exciting performers, and it'll be great to see them on the stage because they're so well known for, you know, great television and for film. And then the last thing is he's going to be performing, Kenneth Branagh is going to be starring in The Entertainer by John Osborne, who's a kind of classic British playwright. It's a role made really famous by Laurence Olivier, and I know he's been quizzed about whether that worries him or not about performing that role, but he's Kenneth Branagh and he can do what he wants, and he will.
Is
and
that what he said to the
pretty
press?
Much.
He was like, I'm just doing.
I'm
what
assuming
I want now.
He referred to himself in the third person and said, "Sir Ken does what he wants." No, he didn't. He was, of course, incredibly humble about it and just said, "Just because somebody's done an amazing version of something, shouldn't put you off."
Yeah,
kind of having
course.
A go at it, you know, that should inspire you to do it differently, to do it whatever, however, whatever way you want.
He definitely walked away muttering under his breath, "I'm Kenneth Branagh."
I'm Sir Kenneth. I will do it amazingly, and he probably will. So if any of those catch your fancy, whether it's that you're just interested in seeing some classic Shakespeare done in, and I believe it's going to be done in the kind of really naturalistic Shakespeare way, then that will be great. Or if you're looking to see something a little bit different, or something that's not been performed very much, or just looking to see Dame Judi Dench and Sir Kenneth Branagh going toe-to-toe in A Winter's Tale, which, let's face it, sounds brilliant, then the tickets are on sale now. I think there are still tickets left for things because it's a really long-running season. That's the benefit of a season, is you get, you know, opportunity to buy tickets from lots and lots of dates, but they will go quick.
Yeah,
so
I'm going to go home and look into it.
Yeah, if you're thinking about it, then do it. And I've seen Judi Dench on the stage in Peter and Alice with Ben Whishaw, and she is phenomenal, so she's worth the ticket price alone in my view. I was going to tell you how much they are, but I'm in a queue to buy tickets, so I actually can't find out, but I imagine you're looking at your sort of standard West End prices, or less. I can't imagine they'll be substantially more than you would expect to pay for a West End show.
We will tweet a link Blackshaw update to where you can buy those tickets and get more information about Sir Kenneth's run at the Garrick, did you say it was?
Yes.
Garrick. Yep. Cool. Thank you, Vicky, for your arts thing of the week, bringing the culture to us all here.
Happy to do it. Getting just to read about plays is my favourite thing to do, so it was great.
Well, this is another play that we're going to play for you this evening. This is written by Marion Powell. It is performed by Emily Jane Kerr. It's called SMS.
It was such a nice date. A Shard. Fancy, eh? I used to be a bit scared of the Shard. I didn't want to go up in the lifts in case there was a storm and the wind blew out the glass and I fell out and drowned in Thames. Be a long way to fall. You might not even be dead when you hit the water, but you die if you fall in if you can't swim. I can't swim. It's not like there's lifeboat crews waiting to rescue people who've fallen in out of the Shard. And even if they did, I suppose a load of people would fall in at once and I doubt they'd get round to me till last, because that's what usually happens. Oh, that'd be just typical, that they'd forget about me or leave me till last and then I'd definitely drown and that'd be rubbish. It was his idea, of course. I wouldn't have even said yes, except A, it felt rude to say no, and B, he was hot. Oh my God. He looked like a footballer, a retired footballer, like one of them who lives in Portugal or Spain, all tanned, or maybe mixed race, but only a tiny bit. Like his granddad came from Barbados or Pakistan or something, and cropped hair and dark brown eyes and crinkly skin, but I didn't mind that because he bought me two cocktails. Two? He didn't even ask if I wanted the second one. He just saw me glass was empty and ordered another. Last time I went out, nobody bought me nothing. It were Nando's, and he said I should pay more because I'd ordered extra coleslaw. Loser. Sean isn't like that. I'm going to text him. Thanks for a lovely evening! ! I had a great time! Smiley face with a wink. Hope to do it again soon. Shall I put kisses on? It's only a first date. No, I will, though. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Three's all right, I think. He hasn't texted me back yet. Which is weird, because I had this impression from him that he was, you know, a gentleman, old-fashioned, you know? And I know he fancied me. I definitely know that. I could feel he fancied me through his jeans when we said goodbye. When we said goodbye. When he had his tongue halfway down my throat and his hand down my bra, and it were a good job it were underneath my coat, or God knows what the people at the station would have thought. I don't care. I don't. I shouldn't have put the kisses, should I? What do you think? I drive myself mental, but this is the fun part, isn't it? The not knowing. This is what makes it fun. Nothing. He's probably met someone else. She's probably got better hair. She's probably got better clothes. She's probably thin. I wish you were on WhatsApp. You can tell when it's been read on WhatsApp. I hate that I don't know if he's even seen my text or if he's seen it and is just ignoring it. With Sean, I think he probably has seen it, and it probably is just that he's ignoring me, or too busy to reply, or some slag he met off Tinder, but he might not be. He might have had a heart attack. He's older, old enough for that, and he lives on his own. He's got a dog, I think, but maybe that only visits when his kids are there. And anyway, what could a dog do if he had a heart attack? Dogs are useless. It's not like Lassie. It's not like they can really do anything. I wonder if I should message him on Facebook. I found him on Facebook. It's weird. His settings are all open so you can nearly see everything. Lots of photos. I've seen his kids, his ex. Oh, she never smiles. No wonder he left her. His skiing holidays. I've never been skiing. There was a school trip once, but my mum said she didn't have any money, and even if she did, she wouldn't use it to send me on holiday, and definitely not skiing, because I just spend the whole time falling over like a massive, stupid spaz. Do you ski? Do you? Is it hard to learn? When did you learn? At school or something? I could learn. There's a place near Milton Keynes. Someone said you can go and get lessons. Can't be that hard. He's texted! Happy day! He said, thanks. Thanks for what? For the text? I had a lovely evening too. Oh, he probably just means thanks for that. Then, get this. A kiss! Well, that's good, isn't it? Because blokes don't always respond to the kisses, like, especially if they're masculine, and he is masculine, a manly man, so it must mean something. I know I put three, but one is good as a response, it really is. It's weird he hasn't suggested meeting again. I thought he might, because it's Wednesday now, so this would be an ideal time to arrange something for the weekend. Wonder if I should text him back. If you were me, would you text him now, or would you leave it? Or does it look needy to text him now? I could just put something funny, send a smiley face so he knows I've got it. What do you think? I don't know why you're not telling me. I know you might not think this is important. You're probably already married and you found the love of your life and you think I'm just some stupid cow, so why even bother to help me? Like, I don't deserve to be loved. I deserve to be loved. I'll wait till tomorrow. Oh, no, do you know what? I'll just send a little message so he knows I've got it. And if he likes me, then he'll think it sweet, not desperate. He's probably insecure about all this stuff too. He hasn't texted me back. But that's all right. It's because I didn't ask him a question. Oh, I should have asked him a question. I'm an idiot. Why did you let me text him without asking a question? Why didn't you tell me to think about it for a few seconds more? God, you are useless, you lot. You're sacked. I met Kelly yesterday. You don't know her, do you? I do have other friends. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Kelly said that men nowadays expect women to take the lead, that they're all so useless, they need you to take the lead. Otherwise, they'll just stay in their pants playing computer games and looking at disgusting porn and barely even bothering to talk to women because they can get everything they want online and order pizza from that app off their phones and the whole world will die out. She goes on a bit, to be honest. But it's true that men are completely useless. So maybe he is sat in his pants playing computer games and looking at disgusting porn, not moping and feeling lonely and handsome like how I think about him. Anyway, she said I should just stop pissing about and ask him if he wants to see me again. I should just be clear. Oh, it's mad, isn't it? But I think, well, why not? At least that way I'm in control. Well, more in control. Like, if he doesn't get back to me, I know it's a no, not interested, you fat slag, rather than sitting here wondering. So I'm texting him. How are you? Smiley face. So he knows it's just a friendly greeting, not that I've been worried about him being lonely and sad. what are you doing on Friday? That's not trying too hard, is it? If he gets back to this, I'll know he wants to see me again. And if he doesn't get back to me, I'll also know. I mean, I'll know like 97%. He might have lost his phone, or had a heart attack, or run himself over with one of his cars. Well, he's got two cars, BMWs. I saw him on Facebook. He must be minted. I have been busy. I've been sightseeing, Morden, Collier's Wood. Sean lives that way. It's not why I went, though. He just made it sound really nice, and I've never been to that part of London, so... I wandered around the streets. I didn't know where his house was, wasn't trying to find it. I thought I might recognise it from off Facebook, but all the streets look same. Oh, you think it'd be boring, just houses, but it was so interesting. Lots of people leave their curtains open, you can see inside. They all had big tellies and fireplaces and wooden floors. I wonder what it'd be like to live in a house. A whole house, not just some crappy room in a crappy flat with four Lithuanians who don't even talk to you in no living room. He still hasn't texted. Don't suppose he will now. Keep checking my phone just in case. I keep hoping it will beep, and it does sometimes, but it's always work. Checking if I want to do another shift, I don't. Or Kelly wondering if I want to go for a drink, I don't. Or O2 asking if I want to upgrade my phone, I don't. Come on, phone. Make a noise for me, please. I just want him to be in touch. I just want him to kiss me and hold me and stroke me hair and tell me everything's going to be all right. I used to play with my mum's hair when she was lying on sofa all hungover, and I thought she liked it, or maybe it might make her feel better, but she yelled at me one day. She said, "Stop stroking me, you stupid little cow. Do you think I'm a dog? I'm not your dog." I wonder what sort of dog Sean has. Oh, hello again, you lot. Nice of you to finally turn up. You could have visited, no one visited, which is fine because I didn't want anyone to see me. Oh, I look a mess, don't I? He texted me. He didn't say anything very nice. He said, "If you don't leave me alone, I'll go to the police, you delusional..." Delusional, good word, isn't it? I didn't know what it meant before. It's just because I made a joke. Oh, I didn't tell you about that, did I? You probably wouldn't get it. He didn't get it. Of course I didn't mean I was actually going to go to the police to report him for attacking me. I put a smiley face on it. How could he even think I was being serious? It's insulting. That he would think I would lie about something like that to the police. It was a joke. So anyway, I went back to the river. Went wandering along to the Shard. I thought I saw him. I ran after him. It wasn't him. Doctor said I was lucky. I don't feel lucky. I feel like a twat. I wanted to throw myself into the river all dramatic, but the tide was out or something, so I just wandered down onto the sand and finished a bottle of vodka and kind of laid down and hoped the river would wash over me. There were some people around, but they didn't say anything. They didn't shout, "Don't do it, Delilah." Why would they? They don't even know me. They just stared. I suppose one of them must have called an ambulance, or maybe there's CCTV, I don't know. I don't really remember the ambulance ride, but one of the paramedics told me, I just kept saying, "I want my mom, I want my mom, I want my mom, I don't want my mom, that's stupid, how stupid is that?" I'm fine now though. That's the main thing, I'm really fine. I've deleted my Tinder. I don't need a man. I don't need anyone. I don't even need my phone. I'm going to throw it away. No, that's silly. But I'm not going to use it for a while. Well, I should probably keep it on. Doctor said he might call. I have to go for appointments for counselling. It's rubbish. I'm fine. He's nice, though. Really caring. Delilah, you have to learn to love yourself. All that self-help nonsense. But he was quite nice looking, too. He looked at me like I mattered. No one ever looks at me like that. I wonder if he'll ring.
That was SMS, written by Marion Powell and performed by Emily Jane Kerr. That was a new writing night piece that we put on a couple of new writing nights back. And we recorded it for the radio.
The next new writing night is in May, isn't it, Vix? It's at the Selkirk.
That is correct, yeah. It's on the 17th of May. It's a Sunday evening, which is a bit of a change for us. It's usually on a weekday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it will be at the Selkirk in Tooting instead of its regular home at the Horse and Stables in Waterloo.
It will be sunny and we'll sit outside and it'll be a great day. So yeah, you should come down for that.
And actually, just quickly, while we're here, the deadline for submissions for that new writing night is next Friday, the 24th. So if you have a piece of new writing that you want to get some feedback on or see performed, then submit it. All you need to do is go to our website, blackshawonline.com, and you can find out everything you need to know there.
Yeah, there's a new writing night tab on the page, and it gives you all the info you need. Speaking of new writing nights, this was another piece that was performed at the second most recent new writing night, I believe. It is called Have You Seen Spider-Man 2? It is performed by Grace Felton and Smith Lowe, and it was written by Joe Banks.
I'll just ask her. She walks in, I go, have you seen Spider-Man 2 yet? Why? Geez, well, I'm fond of the franchise, and I wanted to talk about the issues it raises and how they relate to the real world. Huh. Yeah, that's awful. Literally nobody talks like that. Why would she ask why? You're worrying too much about this. She'll just say yes or no. Then we talk about Spider-Man, then we segue. Easy.
So, what do you feel like eating?
Oh, hey, babe, have you seen Spider-Man 2 yet?
Not yet. Why? What?
Tea.
I'm sorry?
Tea. My tea is brewing, you see, and I've left it for too long now. I'll be ruined if I don't leave the room this instant to fix it.
I've just been in the kitchen. There isn't any tea brewing. What are you talking about?
Well, what I meant is that I need to brew some tea. Do you want any?
What? You didn't say anything like that.
Tea is a legitimate reason to leave a room. So yeah, we were talking about Spider-Man, Sarah. I mean, the whole great power, great responsibility thing he has with Uncle Ben. His uncle dies, and he promises himself that he'll fight crime. Quite a commitment. It's crazy, right? Could you see yourself promising to something life-changing like that? I'm sure you have some ideas. Well, let's discuss.
Weren't we just talking about tea?
Hey, maybe we were, whatever. But let's get back to this oath thing, though. I think we could have one of our classic philosophy discussions. You love those. Set the world straight. Yeah?
You're in a really funny mood today.
Sorry? Yeah, I guess so. Loud kettles. Can't hear people over them. Nuisance, right?
Yeah, okay.
Here we are. Tea as promised. What?
What?
Why are you looking at me?
I thought you were looking at me.
Well, yeah, but I'm looking at you because you're looking at me.
Fine. I guess nothing weird's going on then.
Just me being all over the place again.
Okay. Oh, are you up to date on Game of Thrones? This season has been really good so far. Sorry I haven't been watching it with you.
That's okay. And not yet.
But you love that show. Which episode are you on?
I haven't actually managed to see any of this series.
Criminal. Why not?
I've just been kind of busy. Can we just...
That's no excuse. Tell you what, I'll grab my laptop. Let's catch you up.
I don't really know if I'm in the mood.
No boyfriend of mine will avoid Game of Thrones. I'll be right back.
This isn't going well. Right. I'll just bring the conversation back around to what we were talking about earlier. No problems. What was next? It'll be weird if I mention Spider-Man again, won't it? Yeah. It's fine. It really is. Keep it a little upbeat. I've got tons more topics ready to go. Natural, everyday topics. Brilliant.
So, are you ready to set sail back to Westeros? I see. You need a catch-up. Hang on. I found this great video on YouTube which goes through all of what happened in season 3.
Dr. Faustus!
What?
No. Okay, next we're supposed to be Batman. You can't go straight from Spider-Man to Faustus.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. What's going on?
Well, the thing with Spider-Man is he feels guilty about not stopping the mugger guy from doing a robbery which leads to Uncle Ben being killed. After that, he promises himself that he'll stop that happening in the future.
he makes a pretty big commitment, right? I mean, he spends his life fighting crime, yeah? And Batman is similar because he... Hang on.
Look, just stop. Whatever this is, just stop and we can talk about
Batman's parents are killed when he's a little kid and he makes a commitment to clean up the city. And both of these are similar because it's involuntary, right? They didn't choose for it to happen. But what about those characters who did willingly enter into a contract? And this brings us back to...
John.
What did I say again? Dr. Faustus, yes.
Just...
Unlike the previous characters, Dr. Faustus willingly enters into a contract with the devil.
I
mean, he chooses to change the course of his life permanently.
That is enough!
I'm sorry. So could you ever see yourself doing something like that?
What?
Well, could you do it? Could you legally bind yourself into a contract that's going to last your whole life?
I mean,
taking the devil part out of the equation, could you do something like that? Could you swear to something that you were locked into until you died?
Are you actually asking me that? Could I sign some sort of lifelong contract? Why?
It doesn't matter. I just need to know.
You're starting to scare me a bit.
So? Well, I guess I'll just have to take that as a no, then.
It's a no until you explain to me what this is about. Have you done something? Are you in trouble?
No, of course not. So it's no, which is fine, because there are many arguments against the institution of marriage. I mean, retaining individual liberties, equality between the sexes, government control...
Wait, hang on. Did you just say marriage? This was about marriage. What the f***, John? Was that a f***ing proposal? Are you f***ing insane?
Yeah. When you put it like that...
What were you thinking?
Well, I was nervous and... I just wanted to ease you into a discussion about serious commitments. It didn't really go as I planned.
Understatement of the f***ing century.
But do you get it, though? Spider-Man, Batman, Faust, marriage. Easy, really.
This is just you all over, isn't it? You had to have a plan for absolutely everything. I bet you had a response ready for if I'd said yes as well.
Well, of course. Do you want to hear it?
No, I don't want to hear it. You don't get it, do you? You can't do this to people. You don't have to script everything out, you know? You could have just done what normal people do. Take me out for a meal or something. Surprise me with a romantic gesture. Actually, propose.
We could totally do something like that, if you like. Where do you want to go?
No, you know what? F*** you.
Sarah?
Come on, John. You clearly don't respect me enough to leave it up to me. You felt you had to trick me into agreeing to it before you risked actually asking the question. That is properly insane. This is the sort of stuff you read about on the internet and wonder whether it's true because it's absolutely crazy.
Now I know that you can't forgive me, but understand that I did this because I love you. I didn't want to put you in a position where you felt you couldn't say no. And, well, I know that was wrong of me, but...
Are you monologuing? Did you write that as well in case I didn't go for your foolproof plan?
Sorry. I mean, no, I didn't. But it sounded like... I'm sorry. Sorry.
I really should have expected something like this. It can never be normal, can it? Oh, you're such an idiot.
You know what? I'll go. I'll crash somewhere else tonight. Can we at least talk properly tomorrow? I'll make it up to you. I mean, I'll try. If you feel like maybe one day...
What are you talking about? I didn't say no.
Hang on. Aren't you really mad?
Of course I am. And if you ever pull anything like that again, I'll... Well, I don't know what I'll do, but it'll be truly horrible.
So what are you saying?
Let's just go out somewhere. Have you seen Spider-Man 2 yet?
That was Have You Seen Spider-Man 2, written by Joe Banks and performed by Grace Felton and Smith Lowe. Now, we've got about... 6 or 7 minutes left of the show this evening. And Vicky and I are going to spend a little bit of time talking about Alice in Wonderland, which is our upcoming production. It begins on the 1st of May at the Battersea Arts, at the Battersea Library in Clapham. Got it right. Nailed it. Got there in the end.
That's the one. You nailed it. Yeah, well done. Good work.
It's Sunday. I'm tired.
Well, as long as we got there in the end, that's the important thing.
It's all good. But first off, we are going to announce the winner of the competition that we've been running for the last 2 weeks, which was for four tickets to Alice in Wonderland. And our competition was, you had to tweet us at Blackshaw Update with your answer to why is a raven like a writing desk, which is in Alice in Wonderland, and it all fits together perfectly. And we have a winner.
Yes, we do. Do you want me to read out what their answer was
and
who we've selected? Okay,
that would be good.
Great. So we had a few really, really good entries, some really clever stuff. People had obviously spent some time thinking about it, which is very impressive. But our favourite one by a whisker was at Wild Bear Elena's entry, which was, why is a raven like a writing desk? Because Poe wrote on both. It's so good. There's a literary element. It's a bit, there's like a pun there.
Yeah.
Double use of the word on, meaning it's so good.
That's why it's won.
Yeah.
We're going to tweet that Twitter handle and tell, I'm assuming this person is called Elena.
Yeah.
Because that's in her Twitter handle.
Does seem likely.
Yeah. Very likely. We'll let her know that she's won 4 tickets to come and see our production of Alice in Wonderland. Also, excitingly, we have a brand new trailer, which I've not yet heard. So
neither have I.
I know. It's a world exclusive, some would say. And I'm going to play that right now.
Tell us a story, girl. Tell us a tale. The hare doesn't have much of one, and the queen chopped the mouses off.
Oh, the queen! The queen! Where is she? Where is she?
Now look what you've done.
Alice.
How doth the little crocodile improve its shining tail?
Alice.
And pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale.
We're all mad here.
How cheerfully it seems to grin.
I'm mad.
How neatly spreads its claws.
They're mad.
And welcomes little fishes in.
You're mad.
With gently smiling jaws.
Alice!
Stop laughing, that wasn't funny.
I thought it was, but then I find most things funny.
Fall down the rabbit hole with Alice as her world is turned upside down in this new adaptation of Lewis Carroll's classic Alice in Wonderland. Suitable for ages 4 and up and plenty of jokes for the grown-ups, adapted by Richard Stratton and produced by Blackshaw Theatre Company. On at Battersea Library from the 2nd to the 16th of May. Tickets are £6 for adults and £3 for children. Available now at blackshawonline.com.
That is the silliest thing I've ever heard, and I won't believe it.
Oh, that's so good.
Marvellous.
Big props go to our fantastic sound man, Andy Crane, who's made that. There's loads of voices in there from Alice and not from Alice. And I think I heard Ellie doing a bit of a laugh in there.
Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed.
Yeah, she nailed it. Nailed it.
Fantastic. Yeah, so we'll be bringing you that trailer occasionally in the lead up to the show beginning. And speaking of shows, ours is just finishing. Just coming to an end, Vix.
Yeah, it's sad.
Another week. Yeah.
But
are you joining me next week?
I may do. I think I'm available. I have no idea. I'll have to check. But hopefully I'll be back. And if I'm not back in person, then I will be back with an Arts Thing of the Week pre-recorded for you.
I will be here. We'll be doing... Matt will be back as well. I think Ellie will join us. And Matt will do a movie review. And we'll have more theatre to play for you. Bye.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's it.
That's the end of the show.
I feel a bit forlorn about this, but we're just, you know, suck it up.
Yeah.
Move on.
Head to Blackshaw on Blackshaw Update on Twitter for all of the links and stuff that we've been posting throughout the show about what we've been talking about. And we will see you on the airwaves, I suppose, which isn't really a thing, but we'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye.